Genesis 15, and would you join me as we make this confession together? The words on the screen, those of you online as well, let's just say it like we mean it, if we believe it's true, and would you join me as we make this confession together? Ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free. Free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Lord bless you. Genesis chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. The Bible says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. His name was eventually changed to Abraham, but Abram is what he was known by at this time. And God tells him in a vision, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. He tells him that because Abraham had just defeated an alliance of four armies to rescue his nephew Lot and their family and all of their possessions. And so the Lord says, you don't need to be afraid. I'm going to be your shield. And then the king of Sodom offered Abraham a reward, which he turned down. Nothing wrong with accepting a reward at times. But in this case, Abraham told him specifically, I'm not going to give you a chance to say that you made me rich. I'm not even taking a shoestring from you. God is my source. And so God says, I got you. I'm going to be your shield. I'm going to be your exceedingly great reward. And then as Abraham thought about that, he didn't have any children. And he thought, well, who am I going to leave the reward to? So verse 2, he says, but Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. He was his oldest servant. And verse 3, then Abram said, look, you've given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then the Lord brought Abram outside and said, look now toward the heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And verse 6, this is the main part I'd like to center on this morning as the message. Verse 6, and Abram, he believed in the Lord. He believed the word that God had spoken. The Bible says, and he, God, accounted it to him. In other words, he credited it to him. This is like a computation here of debit and credit. And when Abram believed the word of the Lord, God said, I'm going to credit you with righteousness. He believed the Lord, and God accounted it to him for righteousness. Here's a simple message this morning. Believe God and be righteous. There are two points I really like to share, but that's the main one and the first one. Believe God and be righteous. Abram believed the Lord. He believed the word of God, and God credited him with righteousness. Let me just give you a simple definition of a couple words here. One, righteousness. Righteousness is right, if you think right standing or right relationship with God, and then right actions based on God's standards. So it's being righteous, a state of being and a state of living. So we live out of being. So we are righteous, we believe God, he credits us with righteousness, and then we live that out. So right actions based on God's standards, right standing, right relationship with God, believe God and be righteous. Would you say that with me? Believe God and be righteous. And I want to share three more messages after today, God willing, through this month and next few weeks on the importance of covenants. This is a covenant that God is making with Abram. And just, again, a simple definition of covenant, although in English it's really hard to define with one word what covenant means in the Bible. I believe it's one of the most meaningful words in Scripture. But covenant at its base meaning could be just a sacred agreement. A covenant is a sacred agreement. So God brought Abram into a sacred agreement with himself. God deals with humanity based on covenant. And so over these next few weeks, even today, I hope that God would use me to show how important these covenants are, how they all point to Jesus the Messiah, and how we can live in the blessings of the covenant. And that's what I want for all of us, that we would live. If God has a covenant for us, I want us to live in the blessings of it. And I hope that you do as well. I believe you do. So how we can live in those blessings. Let's continue on verse 7. Genesis chapter 15, verse 7. Because God is going to give very specific instructions to Abram for this covenant. Verse 7 says that he, the Lord, said to Abram, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldees to give you this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, how will I know that I'll inherit it? So verse 9, God responds and said, bring me, and please notice these numbers, a 3-year-old heifer, a young cow, a 3-year-old female goat, 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And so Abram brought all these to the Lord, and he cut them in two, right down the middle, and placed each opposite the other, but he did not cut the birds in two. And notice verse 11, when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. This was a very specific covenant ceremony. I'll give you a little more detail in it in a moment. But when it says that vultures came down on those sacrifices, it reminds me of something Jesus said in the Gospels. Do y'all remember when he was telling a story about a farmer planting seed? And he said, some seed just falls by the wayside and birds come and gather it up. This is what Jesus said about the birds. Jesus said, those birds are like the devil who comes immediately to snatch seed of the word of God out of our hearts. And as I was thinking about that, I was thinking, that's just like Abram had to chase those buzzards away. He had to chase the vultures away. And if the devil is going to come immediately, right after we hear the word of God, right after we potentially receive the word of God, he's going to try to snatch it out of our heart so that it doesn't take root and bear fruit. So we have to guard our heart. We have to treasure the word of God in our heart. And the Bible says that if we will do that, we can submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll do what? He will flee from us. So that's how we drive the vulture away, so to speak, is that we treasure the word of God in our heart. We guard it. We submit ourselves to God. Then by his grace, we can resist the devil because we can't really resist him without his help and drive him away. So we have to, if we want to live in the blessings of the covenants of God, especially this new covenant, then we have to do our part to guard our heart just like Abraham did. Now, the reason these sacrifices were there was bloodshed, there was death, it's showing both the significance of how there was an allegiance given, and it shows the consequences for breaking the covenant. So there was an allegiance there. We're coming into this agreement. We were going to be loyal to each other. And then if we break the covenant, this is what could happen. And I won't go into all the details, but if you want to write it down, Jeremiah 34 speaks of that. Jeremiah 34, verses 18 through 20, where God says, you broke the covenant with me. Now you broke the word that we established, and now I'm going to allow your enemies to come in. And he says the birds are actually going to eat the carcasses of those who had broken the covenant. And it wasn't just they messed up one time. They had just generation after generation were just in rebellion to God, and they would not submit to him. And the Lord allowed the enemy to come in to bring them back to himself. God always is not just punishing, it's always redemptive. He wants to draw us back to himself. Now, we have broken God's covenant. We have broken the word of God, and there are consequences for that. This is called sin. We break the covenant of God, the word of God, and sin that's in our heart. That's the issue. It's not just I did something wrong on the outside. Sin is in our heart. And the sin that's in our heart condemns us to death and separates us from a holy God. Thank God that's not the whole story. And that's not the last word. Let's keep reading. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 12. The Bible says this, Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. And the Lord is going to tell him that his descendants are going to be many, and they're going to serve in a foreign land for 400 years. And at the end of that time, God is going to step in, free them, and he's going to judge the nation who did that to his descendants. And he says, when they leave, they're not just leaving as empty-handed slaves. They're coming out with great possessions. Believe God and be righteous. Even these numbers, I believe, are significant. They were three-year-old animal sacrifices, and there were three of them. Is three a familiar number in the Bible? How about this? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever and tomorrow. There was the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies, the holiest of all. Seemed like to me there was something real significant that happened on a third day, too. Y'all remember that one? Jesus came back to life on that third day, didn't he? So you see how just, you know, I don't think God just threw out numbers. There were three. It's like God's divine presence somehow associated with God with three. But there were five sacrifices altogether, the three that were cut in two, and then the two birds. Five is the number of grace. So we have a number associated with God and a number associated with grace. And I'm trying to make, I mean, I was getting excited. I'm reading, just reading this. And then I got to thinking, well, the sacrifice, the three that were cut in half, that's going to be six. So you've got three, you know, the halves on either side and the two birds. Six and two is eight, and eight is the number of new beginnings. So I'm thinking, this is, you got something associated with God and grace and new beginnings. And it's a picture of the new covenant in Christ. And as Abraham is in this deep sleep, God moves in. If you drop down to verse 17, Genesis 15, verse 17, the Bible says, "And it came to pass when the sun went down, it was dark, that behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch." That can also be translated a smoking oven with a burning torch. In other words, it looked like one unit of fire. One translation actually says a torch of fire going through. And it says that verse that passed between those pieces on the same day the Lord, that literally in Hebrew says cut a covenant. He made a covenant with Abram saying, "To your descendants, I have given this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates." So this fire then, if you picture it, I'll try to get here, or maybe you can see. Here are the animal sacrifices, three of them in half on either side, two birds. Abram's on the ground asleep because typically both parties might go, or the one who was the lesser of the two. Because in some, back even in that culture, two peoples could come together in a covenant, and the one who was greater would say, "I'll protect you," and the one who was lesser would say, "I'm going to be loyal to you and pay, you know, taxes or, you know, have support there." That was the covenant. Usually the lesser would walk through and say, "I recognize this is a sacred agreement, and if I break my word, it's not going to be good for me." But on this one, who walked through? God alone. That fire represented God's holy presence, the light of his glory, as he passed through those pieces of in the presence of blood and death and sacrifice. And he said, "Abram, on this one, I've got it. I'm going to see to it that you have many descendants, and I'm going to see to it that they inherit this land." And I believe that covenant is still in force to this day because Abram didn't have anything to do with it. Remember, it was God said, "I'm taking this one on myself." And even through the prophetic writings of the scripture, the Bible says that when people come against Israel, especially toward the last days, God brings a charge against them that he says, "You divided up my land." God said, "That's my land. I gave it to whomever I wanted to give it to, so don't mess with my land." And so God's holy presence walked through that. And this is a picture of the covenant that we can have in Christ. So would you turn to Romans chapter 4? Romans chapter 4, believe God and be righteous. Believe God and be righteous. Would you say that with me? Believe God and be righteous. Romans chapter 4, beginning in verse 3. I just want to read a few verses in this chapter because it is so relevant to what we just read. The Bible says in Romans chapter 4 and verse 3, for what does the scripture say? We just read it. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. God credited him with righteousness, right standing with himself. Then Abraham lived that out because God had brought the change. Verse 6, just as David, so you know, years later, generations later, one of Abraham's descendants became king, David. He says, just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes or credits righteousness apart from works. Then verse 11. Back to Abraham, it says, he received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness. Please notice this, the righteousness of the faith which he had while he was still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed or credited to them also. We can receive, just like if we believe the word of God, that we have sinned, our sin separates us from a holy God, but God loved us so much. See, when God made that covenant with Abram, God alone walked through the sacrifices. 2,000 years ago, the Son of God alone became the sacrifice. And he poured out his life's blood on the cross, bearing the judgment and condemnation that we would have received for our sins. And then 3 days later, he conquered death, he conquered sin, he conquered Satan, and he reigns on high forevermore. And that's the blessing of the new covenant when God said, I'm going to take this one on myself. And if you just do your part to believe, I'll credit you with righteousness. I'll indwell you by my spirit. I'll change your heart, and I'll help you to live my way and follow me. Believe God and be righteous. Believe God and be righteous. In circumcision, eventually, over in chapter 17 of Genesis, God changed Abraham's name, changed it from Abram to Abraham, and he gave him circumcision as a sign of the covenant. It was not the covenant. He made the covenant earlier. It was a sign of the covenant. His descendants, many of them later on, kept the sign of the covenant, but neglected the God of the covenant. There is a danger of being religious, but not righteous, not right with God. So we can keep the signs of the covenant. We can be baptized. We can join the church. We can be water baptized. We can do all of those outward religious that are good and have their place, but they are not the covenant. They are signs and symbols and blessings of the covenant. The covenant is with God. We've got to have that relationship with him, and that comes by believing God and his word. Believe God and be righteous. Would you tell somebody next to you, believe God and be righteous? And when we believe him, God makes us righteous, then we're to live it out. Let me give you these two verses before we read just a few more in Romans, if you want to write them down. Here's the first one, Isaiah 54, 17. Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 17 says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. Notice that the weapon is no weapon. It will not succeed in what it sets out to do, but the context is it's a tongue of judgment and condemnation against us, and God says, you shall condemn them. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Notice, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. You see that? What a gift. I'm so glad that my righteousness is of the Lord because I have none of myself to offer. a holy God, or much of anyone else. But he says, their righteousness is from me. And then 2 Corinthians 5:21, this really puts it in a nutshell. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he, speaking of the Father, made him the Son who knew no sin. Jesus didn't sin, but the Father made him sin. He made him a sin offering, in other words, is what that's saying. He became sin on the cross for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You want to be righteous? Just believe God, believe his word, and let him baptize you into Christ, and he'll give you his righteousness. But then when we are righteous, then right believing should produce right living. So here's the second point, if you just want to write this down. First of all, believe God and be righteous, then believe God and live righteous. Believe God and be righteous. Remember, righteousness is a state of being, right relationship with God, and right living based on God's standards. But it starts with believing. See, anyone, I guess, could do the outward observations. You know, people can come up with enough willpower to maybe, you know, do some religious deeds, do good deeds, and that's fine. Humanly speaking, that has its place. But we cannot make ourselves righteous with a holy God. But if we believe him and his spirit indwells us, he makes us righteous. And then God works in our heart, the Bible said, giving us the desire and the power to do his will. See, when we experience the mercy and grace of God, then we want to do what's right, not to be righteous, but because we are righteous. Then we want to honor God and live to please him because of our love for him, and we're grateful for what he has done, grateful for what he's doing, and grateful for what he will do because we know the covenant. He did it based on a covenant, and he's going to continue it based on the covenant of his word, the new covenant. Believe God and be righteous. Believe God and live righteous. Would you say this after me? Would you say, believe God and be righteous. Believe God and live righteous. Let me give you a couple of verses here if you just want to. Well, let's close up in Romans 4. Let me stay right here. Romans chapter 4, verse 20. If you drop down here, Abraham is our example of faith. The Bible says that Abraham did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. Hold on a second. How many of you know or are familiar with the life of Abraham back in Genesis? Would any of you think he wavered in his faith somewhere along the line? Like saying, hey, this is my sister. Speaking of his wife. Because he thought the men of that place were so evil, he was scared they were going to kill him to get to her. Hey, just tell everybody you're my sister. He did it twice. But see, not that Abraham was a perfect man, but when he believed God, he became a righteous man and he had a real faith, so it was a growing faith. Because he was in fellowship with the Lord. And God eventually brought him, think about this, his faith grew to such a point when God said, I want you to take your son, your only son, and sacrifice him as a burnt offering, he immediately went. And the Bible says Abram saw that place 3 days later. He took a 3-day, and he said, told his servants, y'all stay here, I'm going to take this young man up, we're going to worship, and we're coming back to you. Because he has such confidence in God's word that he said even if he were to sacrifice his son, which God intervened, he didn't, that God was going to raise him from the dead and they were both coming back off of that mountain. But see, centuries later, God didn't spare his son. One descendant of Abraham completed the journey, and because of him, we can all be in the good covenant right now. Thank God. But he was strengthened in faith, notice, giving glory to God, verse 21, and being fully convinced that what God had promised, God was able to perform. Therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. Would you turn to somebody and tell them it was also for us? Thank God. It was also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses. Thus, he was delivered to the cross. And he was raised because of our justification. delivered. He died to pay the price for our sins, conquered death, came back to life to make us righteous and justified before a holy God. The devil will accuse. The devil will condemn. Sometimes others will. But our righteousness is from the Lord. And I believe that's so important because all the way to the book of Revelation, in the last days, it talks about the devil being the accuser of the brethren, and they overcame him, his accusations and deception, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. It's the blood of the Lamb that washes us from all sin, and our testimony is about the one who did it. So it's ultimately all about him. Let me give you this scripture if you want to write it down. It's found in James, just a couple verses, last two verses, James chapter 2. And I want to read them out of the New Living Translation. Y'all know faith without works is what? Faith without works is dead. So faith in Jesus as Lord is the root of our salvation. Good deeds are the fruit of our salvation. The root and the fruit, but we've got to start by believing. So the Bible says this, James 2:22, New Living Translation that's on the screen. You see his faith and his actions, speaking about Abraham. His faith and his actions work together. His actions made his faith complete. So it happened just as the scriptures say, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God. Do you see how when Abraham was counted righteous by God, he was motivated by love and gratitude to the one who made him righteous, and he lived it out. That's what God wants for all of us. We believe him, he makes us righteous, then we believe him and live it out. So just please think about this a moment. If we're not living right in any area, the first step isn't just to try to correct the outward actions. The first step is to believe the word of God about the truth of that area. I believe that's a powerful revelation. If we want to live right, we've got to believe right of whatever that area may be that we're struggling with, and whatever you feel like, this thing, I'll never defeat it. I messed up again. I want to do what's right. I seem like I keep falling. Just keep believing God. Keep believing the truth. What does God say about that? Then confess it and don't put yourself down. Just keep living it. Keep believing it and believe it in your heart and get it right in that area. And I believe our struggles can serve a good purpose. Now, we all fall at times. You have to say amen. That's all right. It's right. We all fall at times. But the righteous get back up. The proverb says a righteous may fall 7 times and rise again, but the wicked fall by calamity. The righteous, yes, we fall at times, but we get back up because of him. And when I realize there's no boasting on my part, I can't brag about anything. There's no self-righteousness. I guess I could, but my righteousness is zero, so that way all the glory goes to God. And I believe our struggles, even at times our failures, can help us if we handle them the right way. I call it falling forward. When we fall, is to stay close to the Lord and realize we need to always be dependent on him and his grace. It's never because, well, I'm so spirit, I finally conquered. It's because of God's grace. It's by his righteousness. And then that just keeps us close, and that's good anyway. Believe God and be righteous. Believe God and live righteous. I'll close with this. First of all, are you right with God because you believed his word? You believed the good news of Jesus and you have received him as Lord. And then as a Christian, my brother and my sister, is there an area right now where you feel like maybe you can relate and say, man, I'm just struggling. This is one area it seemed like I can relate. And if that's you today, I want to ask you, would you just be willing to surrender, to bring it to God, no excuses, no blame, and just say, Lord, I want your help in this area. And what truth do I need to believe in order to live it out? Focus on the believing. Let God supply the grace for the living. Believe God and be righteous. Believe God and live righteous. Would you say that with me? Believe God and be righteous. Believe God and live righteous. Can we stand as we close in prayer?